Welcome back to Beyond the Back Page, and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Michael Hopkins. We're going to talk about it. It was a busy few days for the League of Ireland. People will be that were following us. It was matches on Friday and matches on Monday, and I'm delighted to say Michael should be joining us on the line. Michael, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Paddy. I hope you're keeping well.
Not too bad, Michael. So we might start off, as I said, like we were in one of them situations where we had the quick turnaround matches on the Friday. We had matches on Friday and again on Monday. And we might start with your own club. And I'd suggest to you it was a contrast in emotions. Friday night you had that disappointment of that defeat at home to Shelburne, and then you followed it up with a fairly comprehensive win on Monday night, a 3-0 win against Bowes. Might say that game against Bowes, a really, really good win, comfortable win in the end. Just might tell us about that game, and how do you assess Pat's performance in that game?
It was a strange performance. The scoreline was fairly emphatic, and Owalabi was excellent throughout. He took his goals really well. Tim Clancy changed the shape of the team, I think, as a bit of a reaction to Friday night, and went with a back three, which is not something we've seen a huge amount this season. And I could be wrong. I got the impression he's very much set out that he did not want to lose another home game against a rival like Bohemians after losing to Shelves. It worked. It didn't look fluid. It's not something I can see us sticking with for the rest of the season. I think it was a case of needs must. Got the job done. Took a bit of pressure off. And like you said, it was comfortable in the end. I don't think Bowes covered themselves in any glory. I think they were very poor. But both goalkeepers had very little to do. And Bohemians looked as disjointed on Monday as we had on Friday.
Yeah, and that match on Friday, what was it? Okay, like, it's remarkable. We're at a situation where we have teams now have played each other twice, and it's remarkable the turnaround in results from the opening day of the season. Pats were excellent in that 3-0 win in Talca Park. I know we had you on, I think, the week after that match, and you were reflecting on the really, really strong performance. But Shelburne on Friday winning that game, and they followed it up with a win on Monday, and they're really, really motoring. You had a good look at Shelburne on Friday night when they won that game. Do you think they're in the kind of struggled, particularly at home at the start of the season, but that win against UCD on Monday night, do they seem to be going in the right direction from your eyes?
Yeah, I got the impression on Friday that the one thing that stood out for me from Friday was how well organised they were. They were remarkably good at their jobs. Every player seemed to know exactly where they should be at the pitch at any one time. And that was without Damien Duff on the sideline. He was in the stand on Friday. But they came to Mitcham Park. They had an exact plan of what they were going to do. They got their two goals. They didn't cause a huge amount of problems outside of those two goals. One of them was deflected effort, so was quite lucky. But they just invited St. Pat's to come at them and take them on, and they shut them down. Pat's had no answer to the excellent pressing, the shape that they retained, and they were able to be comfortable victors in the end. Really, Pat's didn't do enough to win the game. But no, I've been very impressed. I thought at the start of the season that what might catch them out was Duff's inability to maybe a little bit pragmatic and not go and press teams really high up the pitch all the time, and that was evidenced on Friday. They did press, but they also dropped back into a good block and were able to contain St. Pat's. So very impressed. Definitely never thought they'd be anywhere near the relegation zone, but I'm impressed that they're doing as well as they are. The only thing I might see is the squad depth there, obviously. It's not great. There's a couple of young lads on the bench on Friday against us, and that's where you get the test of a team. If you lose a couple of good first team players, all of a sudden your system comes in there. But all in all, if I was a Shelburne fan, I'd be in fairly good spirits.
Yeah, and they have a massive game on Friday, a really fascinating game, it's away in Talla Stadium to Shamrock Rovers, so that'll be a very, very interesting watch. And you raise an interesting point in terms of squad depth. Just looking at the table now, Shamrock Rovers, they're like, even though they had that slip up, I think I was texting you on the other day about the Monday's matches were just crazy. Like, you'd Sligo beaten Derry, you'd Drogheda beaten Shamrock Rovers, a really, really topsy-turvy set of fixtures. But is it that strength of depth that Shamrock Rovers and Derry have to a certain extent that kind of sets them apart to the other teams, and ultimately there is a gap between Shamrock Rovers, Derry now, and then there seems to be Dundalk are doing well now, and there just seems to be another a few different divisions within the league at present.
I think what's happened is, yeah, the squad depth for Rovers has been something that they were able to rely upon over the last couple of years. When you're bringing senior pros off the bench with the experience that they can, you know, you have midfield there with Gitell, Jack Bourne, McCann, and then Ronan Finn. And in addition to that, you can bring off, you know, a player like Dylan Watts, who can't get into the team. He would probably get into most other League of Ireland teams. So their squad depth is huge in comparison to the rest. I think Derry will get to that level eventually. I think they needed to strengthen their first team to have a go this season, and that's what they've done. But their bench is quite light in terms of they've a lot of young players on the bench. They'll get there. And I think what's gone in Rovers' favour this season is St. Pat's were unable to kick on and strengthen the squad that was already there with losing their manager and the upheaval that's there. So St. Pat's first team is strong, but again, below that, there's not a huge amount of depth. So that's worked well in Rovers' favour. They're the squad with the best depth throughout the league, and that'll be enough to see them over the line again this season. Plus, when you've got a huge amount of senior pros, they know how to win. They know how to grind out games. They've been winning games late again this season, and that again is enough to see you over the line and just put that gap between themselves and Derry. But you're right, there's the top two who are a class above. Then there's a bunch together, and I would include St. Pat's in that. And then there's a bit of a gap forming at the bottom. So there isn't nearly three leagues within the league this season so far.
That game, like, Dundalk have been impressive in the last few weeks, so it's a massive game for St. Pat's at the Friday, to because if Dundalk win that, there's a bit of a gap there, so it's a very important game, and it's a must not lose game for Pat's on Friday night.
My own crumb of comfort on that is coming off the back of a good win on Monday and having played Dundalk and in Richmond, the most recent memory I have of playing them is they got a draw, but in St. Pat's really should have wrapped that game quite easily. What Dundalk have in their favour is Stephen O'Donnell is now probably past that settling in period.
Yeah,
and he had a settling in period at St. Pat's where the results weren't fantastic, but he seems to have gotten past that point quicker at Dundalk than he had with St. Pat's. So yeah, again, a decent squad with some very senior experienced pros there. It's going to be very difficult for Pats to get anything, and they need to really keep Dundalk within arm's length, otherwise that gap will open up.
Yeah, European places are so important. Well, I suppose we won't debate this because it's but Stephen O'Donnell factor will be it might motivate the Pat players, but we best leave that because that's another podcast altogether. Might just before I let you go, Michael, I don't know whether you had a chance to look at the Stephen Kenny. We're recording this on Wednesday, so he named his squad for the upcoming internationals. The big I suppose the headline news, Obafemi is back, so it's good to get him back. I know he had a good spell with Swansea, and Festi Mbasele, an exciting talent in Derby. So it looks on paper, it looks a very, very exciting squad, and I'm really looking forward to these upcoming Nations League matches.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a shame Matt Doherty is injured, but that gives an opportunity, like you said. I think the goalkeeping depth is fantastic. I think at the back we're blessed with some really good players. Even Dara O'Shea being back is another big bonus. Up front we look like we have a huge amount of pace for the first time in years. I know CJ Hamilton that's come in new addition to the squad is light and quick. The lads that you just mentioned, Ogbeni obviously is someone that really gets the fans on the edge of their seats. The only concern for me, and it's not something that might solve itself over the season, is we're a little bit light in midfield. There's some players like Horahan and Jeff Hendrick who are not in fantastic form, not playing a lot of club football. So you're hoping that Josh Cullen aside, that someone like Jason Knight or Alan Brown can kick on and nail down a place in that midfield. But definitely heading in the right direction, and the positivity is fans are right behind them at the moment, and now's the time to kick on and just get a couple of results and build on that.
Yeah, it would be great. Maybe some of them under 21 stars. I know the great thing about Stephen Kenny is he's not afraid to throw in young players. So it would be great if maybe the likes of Kilkenny, Coventry, some of them start to develop maybe next year and get into the squad. Lastly, before I let you go, big match on Saturday, Liverpool. A lot of people, they were talking about going for the quadruple. It didn't happen. Came mighty close to win the title. How do you see that game on Saturday going between Real Madrid and Liverpool?
If you asked me to put money on a team to win it, Paddy, I'd probably just about say Liverpool. Purely because they're so strong, and the amount of experience they have in this situation already is incredible. But the one factor that this isn't with Madrid is just that they seem to be able to just pull results and performances out of thin air. It doesn't matter how bad they've played or how poorly they've put in a half an hour or a first half. They just seem to be able to cling on and just get within a goal or two and pull it back. So I think it's 50-50. I really do. I've no preference personally to who wins it. It wouldn't really bother me in the slightest who wins it, but I think it's 50-50. It's pretty much a toss of a coin for me. It'll be a great game. I think it'll be a very open game with plenty of goals, hopefully.
Yeah, well, hopefully. A lot of the times finals disappoint, and for neutrals like ourselves, it'll be great if it's just a quality encounter. Michael, listen, thanks a million for joining us. I'm not sure if you're going and making it down to Dundalk at the weekend, but enjoy all the upcoming League of Ireland matches, and we'll talk to you again in the next few weeks to get your thoughts again. Thanks again for joining us on the show.
No problem, Paddy. All the best. Take care.